Hello and welcome to another edition of the 10 Count Podcast. I'm Luke Janesco, and with me,
Tony Romano.
So we will be doing a little different. Usually we're discussing old school stuff.
Doing a top 10 list.
Yes, but hold the presses. Tony actually bought a pay-per-view. So we're doing a little extra what we thought of WrestleMania 28, the Fallout Raw, where we think it's going to go, give our opinions.
I mean, you can't fault me for getting WrestleMania. I mean, I get it almost every year. There was a couple years where I didn't get it, even though I don't follow current wrestling. I like the direction that they're going right now. So if they keep it up, it'll keep my interest. Maybe I'll become a wrestling true fan again who follows current wrestling. Because if they do leave the PG era, I mean, not necessarily going attitude style, but if they at least get away from the kid and woman-friendly entertainment, then I think more men will start getting back into it. I mean, they have to do something to get back to where they were in the 90s because, I mean, even though they don't have any legitimate competition, I think they're making good steps right now towards progress.
They definitely we're jumping ahead of ourselves, but I want to say with Raw, they're heading in the right direction, I think. But I think right now, why it's good is because they're bringing back the guys that were mainly what this podcast is about from 95 to 2005, where you got Brock Lesnar and The Rock. It's like you're bringing back old guys, but obviously I've heard Lesnar's going to be around for maybe a year. So, I mean, you know, maybe he could stay longer, I don't know. But it seems right now that they're relying on all those old school guys, and it's like I'm hoping right now it's perfect time to build your new stars like CM Punk, give him something against The Rock or Lesnar or something so that you do have these guys later on. So I think right now it's hard to tell just because of the relying on these older guys. But if they do it right, which they do have the opportunity right now to do it right, that these older guys can leave and people like yourselves who may just get back into it right now because they're bringing Rock and Brock back, that we could actually be in a decent era of wrestling, which
well,
is my
would you like me to expand, or do you want to get into this later?
We should probably hold off and get into this later.
Okay.
We'll cover WrestleMania and then get into our thoughts. Sound good?
Go ahead.
All right, so WrestleMania kicked off. Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, which I'm guessing there's not too much to talk about here.
Well, we have 18 seconds to cover.
Yes.
We're probably going to talk about it more.
Time's almost up.
I literally was getting ready to go to the bathroom as soon as it started because I didn't want to miss too much. And honestly, I didn't care too much for that match only because, like I said, I'm not a current guy, so I don't know too much about either of those two. I know who they are. I know that they're bigger names in the WWE currently. However, I was getting ready to go to the bathroom, and I stepped on the stairs, and I looked back, and then all of a sudden I heard the bell ring. And I was like, what's going on? I looked back, and Sheamus had won the title in 18 seconds. I didn't even get to the stairway to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Obviously, you said you don't follow them too much, but I'll educate you a little bit here. Daniel Bryan is phenomenal. One of the best professional wrestlers, in my opinion, ever. If you ever look at his indie stuff, his Japan stuff, anything, the guy is fantastic. Sheamus, if you listen to other podcasts I do, everyone will know that I'm the biggest Sheamus fan ever. I followed him from developmental, and every time it was like, they should bring Sheamus up, they should bring him up. And finally they brought him up, and it was like, you know, mark out moment. I've been a Sheamus fan for as long as he's been around that I've known about him. Great guy. He's improving, and they could put on a great match. I see why they did it. Daniel Bryan was the heel, you know, you knock him out. But I don't think it should have been at WrestleMania because people are...
Or the first match.
Yeah. It shouldn't have happened. You want to see good contests at WrestleMania. If you wanted to have it happen, maybe somewhere else down the line. I don't know where you'd go with it, but it kind of killed Daniel Bryan's credibility. I see where they're going with it. Kind of, he's the heel you want to hate, so it's like we're knocking him out real quick, making Sheamus look strong. But I think it made Daniel Bryan look way too weak, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much. I don't. Is that Sheamus's finishing move?
The bro kick is like
I mean, it's a bicycle kick. Yeah. I don't know why that's a finishing move. This isn't the 1950s, 60s.
Yeah, they've billed it as one of his favorite moves, I guess we'll call it. It's kind of turning
like
into
a signature move.
Yeah.
So not necessarily a finishing move.
No. He's played with a few of them. At one time, he was using the bicycle kick all the time. Not necessarily as a finisher, but he uses it, and it's like, okay, he can knock people out with it and stuff like that, which I guess maybe that's what they're going with. I don't know. It was weird that they used the bicycle kick as a just hit him and we're telling.
That, like, this is a side note off of this, but it does go with this, I guess. I see that the Big Show now, his move is a punch.
Yeah.
I mean, the Great Khali, his move is a chop. Like, where are we going now? Are we going back to that old school? Like, these guys are not as talented anymore to come up with a move that we're going back to moves that people do on a regular basis and get right back up or don't even get knocked down, period? I mean, how much more significant is a Big Show punch compared to a normal punch that he does?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, honestly, it looks, you know, I mean, it doesn't sell. To me, it doesn't sell it very well.
Yeah. It's definitely weird that they're going with that. It's kind of awkward that they're going back to these.
It's and same with Santino. His
Cobra.
Like, all these moves now are just simple kicks or simple punches or chops. And I don't understand where they're trying to go with this because it takes the entertaining out of it. I mean, granted, Santino makes it entertaining with the way he does it. But how is a fan, now maybe I'm just being a hater or something, but how is a fan supposed to be like, well, wait, he just did a move that probably was more powerful than that, and the guy got right back up, but he does that, and he's already down and out for the three count?
Yeah. The logic there is kind of weird. I think, for me, it goes back to that they've progressed so much that it's I mean, if you would ask me, you know, when they had the heart punch or something, the logic there, it made sense. But nowadays, it's like they've progressed so much that, you know, in the 90s, they're doing such crazy things. And early 2000s, it's like you can't – it's really hard to go back to that without people saying, huh? Because when you use something like a shooting star press or something like that, you know, all these fantastic moves, it's hard to justify using a punch or something, which I guess I can kind of see with the Big Show or Khali where you use a chop or a punch just because they're like 7 feet tall. But
well, I can understand Khali. He can't do anything else. He can't move.
Yeah. And Big Show, it doesn't really – it makes sense for his size, but when you look at his moveset, it doesn't make sense because he's throwing out kicks and stuff like that, you know. So it's like – it's weird that one punch – it's weird that they're going back to it. I won't complain until they're letting the guy that is like Daniel Bryan just do a one punch knockout something. I won't start complaining until then because right now it kind of makes sense, but, you know, it's –
I don't know. I still can't see it.
Santino, I completely agree with you. I've hated the Cobra since he started it because it's.
I love when he does. I laugh all the time.
Is he hitting you in the throat or where is he hitting? Because they've changed several times as to where.
I don't think there's a set location.
Okay, because if it hits you in the throat, it would make sense to me because you know he hits you in the throat. But if he's just hitting you in the face, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I could do that to myself. I'm just doing it right now, and I mean.
And look at you, you're talking to me. Yeah. You're fine. You're completely coherent.
I think I blinked. That's about all that happened. I don't know. I just don't like how they're doing that. I mean, I guess it makes sense, but they better, when Big Show does this punch, they better make it, whoever is getting the receiving end better sell that thing.
Yeah.
Like, they better fall back at least 20 feet or hit the ground and, like, fast and hard. To make it look like a knockout punch, because if they're just going down like a normal punch, I mean, it's so hard to do that because I've in that match. I mean, that what's that called? Is that called the WMD?
Yeah, WMD. Yep.
Okay. I guess we should wait till we get to that match, but I guess we can go right into that.
Yeah,
match
we can
now
pretty much progress.
That was the third match, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll go into that one. We'll skip Orton for now. Start at the finisher, I guess. But when he did that to Cody Rhodes, like, Cody didn't sell it very well, or he didn't sell it very well, or Big Show didn't, like, sell the punch very well because it looked very weak.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody went right, you know, he went down and he got the pinfall at that. And I was watching it with two of my buddies who haven't watched wrestling in probably 4 years, not even a single event or anything.
Yeah.
and I had one buddy who watches it on occasion. They were freaking out about that. They didn't understand how, you know, how he could punch someone throughout the entire match and they're just fine, but he does that punch, which didn't look much harder, and he's out for the three count.
Yeah. See, there, it is really hard to justify something like this. I don't know really where they go for it. Like, Big Show, I don't know why you mess with it. I hate when they do it. Chokeslam is where you're at with the Big Show. I mean, that should be his finisher all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he had what? He went through the final cut, right?
Yep.
And he had the alley-oop.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's – then he went back to chokeslam for a little bit, and now he's using a punch. I mean, at least the other two moves were moves.
Yeah. And when you have something that works, you shouldn't mess with it. Obviously, when you have a big guy like Big Show, obviously, the default
he's
move –
he's athletic.
Yeah.
He's not – Khali, I can understand where Khali's going, but Big Show can move. Big Show can do some stuff.
Yeah, and I agree. I just think when you're 7 feet tall, how much more devastating is a chokeslam going to look? It's going to look completely devastating. It's going to—you can justify this guy's not going to get up because this guy's 7 feet tall and he's lifting you over his head and he's slamming you to the mat. I mean, that guy's not going to get up. So I don't know why you go from a chokeslam to a punch. It's hard to justify. I mean, again, I kind of get it if he—I mean, if he's setting up and completely punching him, like, maybe when you put him in the corner, he's kind of just going off, and then, like, when he actually sets and then punches you for that clean right to the chin, I don't know. I mean, I'm with you on this. I'm just kind of trying to come from where WWE is, so it's really hard for me to justify something like this, because I don't like seeing a knockout punch either. A finisher is a finisher for a reason, because it looks completely devastating, and it's something you don't do throughout the whole match. It's something that you beat the guy up and wait for that spot so that you can actually do that finisher, and then that guy doesn't get up and you win. So it is hard to justify a punch when you've progressed the way you have. Like, with the heart punch, I get it. It stops your supposedly stopped your heart for 3 seconds or whatever the time limit was real quick so you can get the pin. I guess they're kind of going with he's getting a clean shot to your face.
There's really nothing else we can break down about it. I mean, they are, it's what it is.
Yeah. I guess we can get on to the match, actually.
So we'll get on the Big Show Cody Rhodes match. What were your thoughts on it?
Obviously, I think Big Show had to win this just because of the way Cody Rhodes was getting the better of him throughout the whole feud with the whole he's a joke at WrestleMania and everything. So obviously it was smart move to have Big Show win. But again, Big Show's at the point in his career where he doesn't really need a title, especially a mid-card title. He's so over, it's not going to matter where he's at on the card. So I don't really think he needed it. It was weird that they put him in a mid-card feud to begin with to me. It was like, where do you go with this? Even if Big Show wins, what is your end game here? Because I don't know what's going to happen with Big Show now. I'm hearing like Cody Rhodes may be drafted to Raw to be a top heel over there. Big Show, I don't know. I don't think he needs the Intercontinental Championship at this point in his career.
He doesn't. But the thing is, the weird thing is that he was crying when he got it.
Yeah, that was so awkward to me.
Now, I don't know if it's because he won at WrestleMania or if it's because they're trying to sell that he's so happy he won the Intercontinental. Because, I mean, guarantee you, he doesn't give a crap.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and I haven't, went through and looked at his complete history of WrestleMania. I mean, obviously, those ones that they pick out are because he was a joke at WrestleMania. But I don't think in his entire career in the WWE, he didn't have at least one good WrestleMania moment until he won the Intercontinental Championship. That, to me, that's hard to believe. So it was weird whether it was winning the Intercontinental Championship or getting a win at WrestleMania as to why he would cry. It was just kind of like, okay, whatever.
Well, I just didn't understand how they were going to have, like, I mean, how they were going to make it to that. I thought Big Show was going to win the entire time because I don't know how they can make Cody Rhodes beat the Big Show.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no clue on how that was going to happen.
Because he looks like a little child
yeah.
trying to beat up the Big Show.
Yeah.
And I mean, it.
He's quite small.
It was a weird feud to begin with. I don't understand like that whole thing.
Yeah.
If anything, they should have had Randy Orton face him. I know Randy Orton's bigger. He's a bigger name, way bigger name. But I mean, in essence, I mean, Kane is a big name, but he's not a main eventer.
Yeah.
So I mean, the face. In all fairness to Kane, I love Kane, but he is a mid-carder,
which is a travesty.
Yeah, and because he's been in the business so long. Boy, he's only had the world title, what, once, twice?
Twice. Which, the first one he had, well, the WWE Championship that he had was, remember, like for a day when he lost to Stone Cold? That was ridiculous. I hated that even as a kid.
Well, but that's what I mean. I mean, they should have had Cody Rhodes face Randy Orton and then have Big Show face Kane. And I know they face off a lot. But at least I think it would have made for a better WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
For both ways. But overall, I thought the match wasn't too bad. If anything, should have been 18 seconds. It should have been this match.
That's what I was going to say. I predicted that. I knew that they were going to have a short match at WrestleMania because I thought they were going to try to beat some record. And I assumed this would be the match. I thought it was going to be, Cody Rhodes comes in.
Because that would be, that would make so much sense.
Too much sense, apparently, for them to do it.
I mean, but like Big Show finally gets a moment, and it's beating the guy who beat the fastest win.
Yep.
At WrestleMania. So I mean, that's a moment to have, a good moment to have, and it's against the guy who's been calling out all his bad moments.
Yeah,
and it makes sense because Big Show, that's one match I could see him winning in 18 seconds.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess it would set up perfectly for next WrestleMania if Cody Rhodes had lost it, because it would be redemption from last WrestleMania where you have the fastest knockout or fastest match. So, I mean, it would have been good to do that. Definitely, it shouldn't have been a world title match that's 18 seconds at WrestleMania. That, even opening up WrestleMania to me, I was disappointed when I heard Sheamus' music, and I was like, okay, this is what they're starting off with. But, yeah, Cody Rhodes versus Big Show, I thought was... an okay match. I didn't think it was a great match. I wasn't really expecting too much. Again, the positions I thought were going to be reversed with this match being really short, which it went a decent amount of time. So I'm a big Cody Rhodes fan. I would have preferred Cody Rhodes to win. He didn't really need to win at all because he's obviously got the better of Big Show, so it made sense for the Big Show to win. But again, I don't know where you go with the Big Show holding a mid-card championship. It's weird.
All right, well, let's do this. Overall grade. A through F, what do you give this match?
I'd say C+, because I'm in a good mood.
And what about the Sheamus one? F?
Yeah, I mean, that's like NA. I can't even give it a grade, really. Okay.
Orton and Kane.
Orton and Kane, I was pleasantly surprised by the ending. I'd give it probably not a B-. And just a little teensy bit above B-. So it's a B, but it's barely a B to me.
I thought it was a pretty good match until the ending.
You didn't?
I thought they botched it.
With Orton losing?
No, they botched the move.
Oh, the choke slam. Okay.
He lost the grip. I don't know if you noticed. I know it happened.
I didn't notice. I'll go back and watch it.
It wasn't completely obvious, but... He did lose a little bit of the grip, and it lost a lot of power going down. And to the non-diehard wrestling fan eye, it's like, wait a minute, he barely hit the ground because they botched it. But when I watch a WrestleMania, this is their time to showcase, because this is their biggest event. And then I hate seeing botched stuff at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think that goes back,
especially from Kane.
Yeah,
of all people.
I don't know. It happens, I guess. I'll have to go back and look at the ending. I didn't really notice it too much. Obviously, I think I was just so elated that Kane had actually won Everest. That was out of left field for me. It was academic to me that Orton's coming into this and leaving WrestleMania beating Kane. And, I mean, he got the choke slam, and I'm like, Orton's obviously going to kick out of this one. And he got a clean 3 count out of Orton, which was... unbelievable to me, because to me it's like they brought Kane back to the feud with Cena, and then he's kind of just been floating around. Orton needs something to do, so we'll throw Kane at him. And that's
Orton's really falling off too. They had him built up so good. Now he's
I think it was just because, I mean, lack of main eventers on SmackDown. They didn't really know what to do with him. Once you eat up Daniel Bryan, top heel, going against Sheamus, what is there really for Orton to do too much on SmackDown? They threw Kane at him. My thing would have been, I thought before the event, I think they should have did Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus versus Orton versus Kane in an elimination style for the championship. I thought that would have been better just because, they did it at WrestleMania 2000, it worked, I thought. And obviously, throw these guys in to give them more time to work than they had. I mean, because Orton Kane was pretty much a throwaway to get Orton on the card. So, I mean, put them all in a match, give them something to work toward.
And it wasn't a bad match, though. That's a
yeah. And obviously, you can't go wrong having Kane and Orton in there. They both know what they're doing. And obviously, you wouldn't get a match that's 18 seconds at WrestleMania, which...
My grade for that match is going to be a B-minus as well.
B-minus.
I don't know if I gave one for the Cody Rhodes match, but...
I don't think you did, so let's hear it.
I'm going to give it a C.
C?
Yeah. And that tackle that he did to Cody Rhodes, I don't know if he legitimately hit him in the nuts.
Yeah, I know.
It looked like he legitimately did.
That's
like,
what I thought. I was like...
That looked pretty sloppy, too. Yeah. I wasn't impressed with that.
He didn't hit... He caught his leg and then his nuts, and that was pretty much it. And Cody was laying there, so...
And then they ended immediately after that, because I think Cody was in some pain.
So... Kane Orton, I was surprised by the ending. It was a good match. It wasn't a great match or anything like that. It was there. I think it turned out to be a better match than I expected and better than some of the other matches on the card, which we'll get into.
Like the next match.
Yes, yes. So, I guess we'll get into it right now.
We could skip over it.
Do you want to?
Is it the Divas one? Is that one? That's what I'm talking about.
We can go Divas right now if you want.
Well, that wasn't the next match?
Not on mine. My layout here, I have the Hell in a Cell.
Oh, was that? Divas were after that?
Did it, or did I just completely miss the Divas? Because that does not sound right to me at all.
I don't know. I mean, we don't... Either way, it doesn't matter.
Either way, we can talk about it. What do you want to talk about?
I don't want to talk about Divas match because, I mean, it was complete... Not uninteresting at all. And not just because it's the women, because they had that... whoever that girl was. I didn't even know who she was. Maria
Menounos. It must have been after that then, because it's not on my layout, so I'm guessing I must have skipped over a match here.
Which is not that big of a deal for this match.
Yeah, really. They must have just skipped it completely, and they're like, whatever. But that match, ridiculous. Why do you even put it on the card?
It's because you have to get that celebrity in there.
And she's not even much of a celebrity.
Yeah, and I did not even know who she was. And literally only one person at my gathering for this knew who she was. And I thought she was a legitimate wrestler until they showed the actual clip.
Yeah. Yeah, she's on Dancing with Stars currently. And is it a talk show she has, or do you know? Because I don't know.
She seems like an interview host type person who just goes on. Interview celebrities, and
she actually had a broken rib going into that. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, they were talking about that.
To keep that match going, she had a broken rib, so you know she wasn't going to do too much. And then you have Kelly as her, which obviously the plan would have been to have Kelly work most of the match anyway, but why would you rely on Kelly to work a match when you have someone like Natalya? Who can work a fantastic match, and they're obviously not using her. So,
the thing, I give the match overall a D minus. Okay. However, the thing that stood out the most to me as stupid was that they had Maria Menounos, whatever her name is, pin Beth Phoenix, the champion, and someone who's probably 100 pounds more than her.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean. How do you do? Like Beth Phoenix is the only person that could challenge Chyna.
Yeah.
In terms of people that have been in WWF.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what do you gain from that by having a 80-pound celebrity pin your champion?
Yeah. And going back to what you said about botched endings, Maria Menounos, when she did the schoolboy roll up, she dropped down instead of rolling with it, so it was like Beth had to go. back, you know, instead of just being able to roll with it.
Because she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah, she has no idea. So, I mean, you botch the ending, and then, you know, she gets the win over the champ.
It's always those matches that bother me. Like last year with the
Snooki.
I mean, that wasn't even that bad, because at least Snooki was made it entertaining by doing flips and shit. But the Michael Cole Jerry Lawler match, like, that was a complete joke last year.
Yeah, that was,
like, there's no reason to have these kind of matches on WrestleMania. Do it on another pay per view.
Yeah, it's always a waste of space somewhere in WrestleMania. So, I mean, it's always hard to get a great WrestleMania because they always have these throwaway matches that completely suck.
But they do it right, like, good sometimes, like the Floyd Mayweather versus Big Show. Like, that was that at least made sense.
It made sense, but I absolutely hated it.
I didn't know. It was stupid.
Yeah.
Because Big Show couldn't even touch him in reality. I mean.
So, obviously, they need to learn to. You can have celebrities at the event, but you got to do it in moderation as to. If you're going to have someone to try to do a wrestling match, have someone that actually has some kind of athletic ability and can actually try and do something. I mean, they've been doing it forever with Bam Bam Bigelow and LT at main eventing a WrestleMania, which was, I could sit here an hour ranting about that, but they need to learn how to balance it. Sometimes they balance it well, sometimes more times than not they don't balance it, and it just ends in a complete unhappiness for me for at least 10 minutes, which in this case it happened. So hopefully next year they'll learn the lesson, but probably not. So that match, I mean, we could give it whatever we want. Obviously, you could go D-.
I'm going D-.
I'll go D-, too. I don't want to be completely mean because they were trying, although it didn't look good, but.
Nah, it's nothing to do with the performers besides Maria, but this is all based on the writers and the bookers. And
yeah. Well, Kelly, she's been with the business. She has improved to a degree, but she still doesn't know how to bounce off ropes. Did you watch her bounce off ropes at WrestleMania? It's like she stops and then leans against them and then runs back. It's not like you know how you just go into it. She goes like.
She just taps them?
Yeah.
And goes.
And so it's like, has no one told her about this yet, or are we just ignoring it because.
Because she's good looking.
Yeah. So
it is. But whatever. I don't want to talk about Divas anymore.
Yeah, we'll get over that.
The best match, in my opinion.
End of an era match, as they build it. Hell in a Cell, Triple H versus Undertaker with Shawn Michaels as special guest referee. So what are your thoughts?
This is my favorite match of the night. I give it an A. Not A+, because Shawn Michaels bothered the hell out of me in that.
Oh, yeah.
If he wasn't in that, I'd give it an A+. I thought there was no reason to even. I mean, it's necessary to have him because it's WrestleMania, and they're bringing in all these old names, and I'm sure he wanted to do something for WrestleMania. But I would have been. I guess that wouldn't make sense in a Hell in a Cell. But I would have been like I would have said I would have been better if he was just Triple H's manager for the match. But I guess that wouldn't make sense in Hell in a Cell. He should have done something else. Special guest refereeing that match was just complete. It was no purpose, and it was just a distraction.
Yeah.
It took away from the match versus being anything good, in my opinion. But overall, the match, I loved it. I thought it was the most entertaining. It was bothering me that they wouldn't hit him in the head. I know it's against the PG rules. Yeah. But
which they got in trouble last year for hitting each other in the head, so I was like, well, might as well just go for it this year, too.
I mean, I don't understand like how hitting a person in the head one time compared to beating the hell out of him multiple times with this chair is going to make any much of a difference.
Because Undertaker's back looked vicious when
His welts were just
it was
incredible.
Ridiculous.
And he got spine busted. I mean, he got hard. He landed hard on those steel stairs.
Yep.
I thought the match was very entertaining. I loved how they let it go on. The outside of the ring was way too small.
Yeah, I think they changed it just because, you know, obviously they were working with constraints being outside and having the awning. They had to like hook it up everything. So
I don't understand that, but I thought it was unnecessary anyway to even have the cage because they didn't even utilize it at all.
Yeah.
It should have just been a regular match with no DQ.
Yeah.
When special guest referee, because that's pretty much what it was. I think they maybe touched the cage once. They didn't go out of the cage at all. Like, I was really hoping for something like that, going on top of the cage. Because how do you have a Hell in a Cell and not go on top of the cage? Yeah. Or not at least bust out of the cage?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I think doing a Hell in a Cell was completely unnecessary. I know why they did it, to try and top last year's thing and make this whole thing like a big pay-per-view. And it's like, oh, Hell in a Cell and everything. Obviously, I think that's why they added Shawn Michaels as well. So you just add in Shawn Michaels on the graphic, and it's like, oh, Undertaker and Triple H, and Shawn Michaels is in there in some way. So it made sense to do that, but, I mean, they did nothing with the Cell. It was,
yeah, I mean, the Cell was irrelevant, and Shawn Michaels was a distraction. So if anything, both those elements took away from the match, in my opinion, because when I see Hell in a Cell, I expect to see something with the cage being used. Now, I know they couldn't make it a cage match, which would make more sense, but if they're going to use all these weapons, they can't use the cage because they can't get out. And I don't think either of those guys can climb a cage anymore anyway.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But for how old they are and how beat up these guys are, granted, they only wrestle once or twice a year. I thought they performed very well, and I liked it better than last year's match.
For me, I wouldn't say I liked it more than last year's match. Obviously, I do think they kind of focused on Shawn Michaels a little bit more than they should have, with his decision-making and just straight cutaways to Shawn, which was kind of weird when there's an actual match going
on. Well, and he was, like, making weird faces.
Yeah, like he was freaking out about
what
he was
like, looked like he took some mushrooms before the event. Like, that's literally what it looked like. But go ahead.
This match, obviously, they did not utilize the Cell like I think they should have. I mean, it was pretty much there as decoration, I guess you would say. Because, I mean, it was, like you said, pretty much a hardcore match. Street fight, whatever you want to call it. They used some stuff. I think last year's match, to me, edged out more just by a little bit than this match.
The reason I didn't like it compared to last year's, I loved last year's match. I still gave that an A. But I didn't like at the end, and I know this is none of their faults, but when Undertaker, it was clearly evident Undertaker was, like, injured severely.
Yeah.
Or at least severely fatigued, whatever he was, whatever that whole thing was. I didn't like how they rushed the ending because Undertaker couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because he was legit, like, you could legitimately tell that they had to get this match over with, or they weren't going to be able to finish because, like, Undertaker was legitimately struggling.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. And I'm surprised Undertaker held up so well using that much weapons and everything that he went through in that match compared to last year, which, I mean, he did jump off through the announce table last year, which is when he got hurt, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So I guess I forgot about that, which would make sense. But still, I don't know, just the ending.
Yeah, and neither, I don't think either guy last year coming in, they came in, they were still coming off injuries, and I think they came in early just to do this match. So, again, last year they weren't 100%. Obviously, I think it's just my favorite just because it's the first time not the first time they met because they met at WrestleMania 17. But going off that absence and everything, you saw these two actually very seasoned coming in and facing each other. I think they did well last year. This year was good. I don't know really what to say bad about this match. Obviously, it was good. It lived up to my expectations. I can't.
Shawn Michaels was the only bad thing.
Yeah,
and the cage.
I would probably give this one, I don't know, an A-.
A-.
It was a great match. I was entertained. It was one of the matches that I was able to look back and say, okay, I spent this much money on pay-per-view. Yeah, but you know. Triple H and Undertaker was one of those matches that sticks out in my head that is obviously a great match. So, I mean, I can justify it saying I saw Undertaker versus Triple H in Hell in a Cell, even if they didn't use the Cell too much. So, yeah, my final grade would probably be an A- for this one.
A couple notes to point out was Undertaker's shaven head.
Yes, into like a mohawk. Yeah.
I was like, what the? And then this whole cutting his hair every day until... I mean, obviously, that was a complete fake.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm like, oh, they shouldn't have said anything about that because I don't know. Just didn't.
It was weird. And
they should have just said he's going for a new look. That would have made more sense than he cut his hair every day. He's not sadistic. Like, I mean, no matter what he says, wrestling fans know that he's not, because he's been so many different characters.
And I think Undertaker obviously noticeably put on a few more pounds than we're used to seeing him having. But I don't think it affected his performance too much at all, if any, because obviously they put on a fantastic match. So, I mean, Undertaker's getting older, so he's not going to have, you know, rock hard body.
Well, and we didn't see in the last ride either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't think he can do that one anymore. Yeah. Unless it's Rey Mysterio in there.
Which, I mean, that move was, I assume, harder to do even when you're younger, just to lift a guy up like he was. I mean, and obviously none of these are small guys. They're all pretty much over 200 pounds unless you're dealing with a cruiserweight. So, I mean, yeah, I guess it's understandable that he did not. And Triple H is a huge man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've noticed it before, but I mean, like, at WrestleMania, I noticed how, like,
ripped he is.
Yeah, he is just, like, a monster, man. And it, both these guys, I love seeing them. I hope neither of them are done yet, because
I don't know. I think this might be Taker's last. I don't think Triple H is done, but
Undertaker, I think you could go in saying, obviously, yeah, it's his last one. But Undertaker, if you ask him, it's going to be very hard for him to stay out of the ring to say, yeah, this is my last one. So I think this wasn't really billed or mentioned too much as this will be Undertaker's last WrestleMania, because I think it's hard to tell with him. I mean, he's been doing it for I don't know how long now. So I don't think this will be the last time we see Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Well, I hope not. I enjoy watching his matches.
Even if he comes back once a year just for WrestleMania, I'll be completely content with it, because I already know I'm going to get a good match out of him, as long as it's not against, like, Mark Henry or something. Which, I mean,
I think in order for him to come back, it's going to be someone worth fighting. It's not going to just throw in some guy.
Which, I've mentioned it before. If Mick Foley could get back into good shape, well, I mean, he's never been in great shape, but if he could get back in decent shape to do something with those two, I think would be a fitting end to Undertaker's career, just because of the kind of feud that those two have had.
I don't even know if he wants to wrestle anymore, though.
Foley, yeah. He said he'd get back in the ring. So apparently there are rumors now that he's getting back into better shape to actually come back, which he's lost a considerable amount from leaving TNA and coming back to WWE. He's already been dieting and things like that. So I would, down the road, it doesn't even have to be next year, I would love to see Undertaker versus Mick Foley as Undertaker's last match. I think that would be great. But yeah, that's just my opinion. So ending to this match, I'd say A- for me and an A for you. That's where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder if they had Triple H not leave the ring on purpose.
What do you mean? What?
Because in their promos, they showed how Triple H was calling Undertaker out for not leaving the ring, even though he won the match last year.
Oh, you mean like how they had to help him up?
Yeah, I wonder if that was intentional.
Yeah,
or if he really was that beat up. I'm sure he was beat up, and I'm sure he was sore and in pain. But I think they made that, and then by having Taker, because Taker still looked more beat up than Triple H did, because he couldn't even struggle to pick him up. But yeah, I think that was just to close out the rivalry.
I think it was.
I don't think he was legitimately.
Yeah, I think it was kind of just like, hey, yeah, even the score. So
yeah,
I don't know. I hope they don't do a third. I mean, these two
fourth.
Yeah, fourth technically, a third in this series, but I don't think they need another one. I mean,
no, that was a good closure. I don't think they should touch that.
I think it should be the end of the chapter there. And just
if anything, Shawn Michaels should face him again one more time.
Yeah, because, I mean, there were rumors thrown around that rumor was that it was going to be next year, Undertaker versus Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, which I don't think that would be good.
That's okay, but
To me, it would be kind of overkill for me. I mean, it would make sense, but he's beaten both guys twice at WrestleMania. Well, you know, Triple H, obviously, three. So I don't think it needs to be done at all.
They need to stop making Triple H lose at WrestleMania, because that's going to be his thing, is losing at WrestleMania.
Let's hope they don't ever bring attention to that, but I don't think they will. I think Triple H will make sure they never mention it.
All right, so let's move on to the tag team match?
The 12-man tag thing? Yeah. Team Teddy, which consisted of Santino Marella, R-Truth, Kofi Kingston, Zack Ryder, The Great Khali, and Booker T versus Team Johnny of David Otunga, Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, The Miz,
yes,
and Drew McIntyre.
Well,
you want to go?
First off, I didn't know all those people. I only knew, I knew them all, but I didn't know two of them. I didn't know Drew McIntyre was, and didn't know David Otunga was.
Makes sense.
David Otunga didn't even get in the ring, so I couldn't even learn him. I don't think Drew McIntyre got in the ring either.
Too many people.
Yeah, they should have. They should at least had elimination, if anything.
Yeah.
That would have made it way more entertaining. But like, I guess I'm sure they were against the time constraints as it was, because they had to get that stupid Funkopotamus thing in there.
Funkopotamus, very nice.
Okay, well, we'll skip that for now, because I have some bad comments about that.
Okay, I can't wait to hear
them. But this 12-man match, I was really disappointed. I was really excited, because I didn't know Booker T was going to be in this at all, and I was really excited. And so was my buddy who was watching with me, because he was like a lifelong Booker T fan. And we didn't even get to see a Spinneroonie.
Yeah.
Like, how do you put Booker T in a match and not let him do the Spinneroonie?
There were too many men in this match. Way too many. It should have been down to, like, an 8-man tag. I mean, I had it worked out in my head. You could have had, like, Kofi, Zack Ryder, Booker T, and like R-Truth, or if you really wanted Santino, you could have had them.
I want Santino.
And then I think you should have went with like The Miz. I don't think Christian should have been taken out of it to begin with, because he was originally in this match and they took him out. So and replaced him with Drew McIntyre. I don't know where that came from. So I would have had Miz, Christian, and then the tag champs, which were left off the card, which were Epico and Primo, which, I mean, they're tag champs. You should have had them on the card to begin with. And they kind of feuded with Kofi and R-Truth.
Well, they did a dark match, so.
Yeah, but whatever. I think they should have at least done something actually on the WrestleMania card. So, obviously, to me, this was way too many people. I did not pay attention too much to this match until the ending. I mean, I can't tell you what happened in the match until the ending.
Well, the three things that stand out to me in that match that I thought were good. The overall, I'm gonna give it a C+. It was just too many guys. I thought some of the in ring work was actually pretty good. I loved when all three of the SmackDown guys jumped out and did the flip.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool because it was perfectly synchronized. That was pretty sweet. Hornswoggle, I didn't understand that. I guess this was just for funny, but that was pretty funny when Mark Henry threw him like a dart.
Yeah, I always love when Hornswoggle gets hurt, because I absolutely hate Hornswoggle.
The sweetest thing ever, I thought, was when Dolph Ziggler got launched out of that thing and he did like a front flip.
Yeah, Ziggler is one of the greatest. He's going to be so big in a few years.
I didn't know he was from Cleveland either.
Yep.
I went to
Kent State. Which,
yeah, I read about that. I was like, huh, okay, well, I like him a little more, even though he's little cocky, but
yeah,
of course I love The Miz, so,
yeah, so
I
can't
really go there.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of cocky, though. I was really impressed by that when he got a slingshot out of that corner and then did that front flip. Like, if he just went forward, that would have been sweet, but he did a flip, which I never saw anyone do like that.
Yeah, he's amazing. His selling is ridiculous.
I've heard a lot of good things about him, don't worry. And then, of course, The Miz winning, which was touched my heart.
Oh, I bet it did.
The best thing about it was his what's his move called? The
skull crushing finale.
Yeah, it actually was. Usually, most time I watch it, he doesn't perform very well. And I thought that was the best one that I've seen him do. Like, I personally seen him do. Which again, like, the ending is a lot to me. Like, if as long as they don't botch the finishing move, then I love it.
Yeah.
And he landed it perfectly, and that's what I like to see.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought here.
And Zack Ryder was pretty, when he got in there and went on fire, like, I thought he did really well. I don't know him too well. He looked like an idiot With his little like summer sunglasses that a 5-year-old would wear. But I did love that. Like he showed a lot, and then he started taunting and lost the match, whatever. But I thought it was pretty impressive. I don't know too much about him to know if that's a normal thing for him.
Yeah, Zack Ryder is one of the guys that should be have so much respect from everybody just because he was a guy that was on, you know, when he was on like ECW or whatever, and then once that went away, he was thrown onto Raw. They didn't use him at all. He wasn't even on TV. He got a flip cam for Christmas from his parents, and he went out and made his own web show, which is like a 5-minute web show, which, you know, within 10 episodes, people were chanting, "We want Ryder," just at events, and that slingshotted him to the U.S. Championship. And, I mean, that was WWE gave him nothing, and he created something, and now he's at WrestleMania. So he's a guy that should be respected by everybody just because of what he's done, the passion that he has, and, you know, he wants to succeed. So he's a guy that is, his gimmick is based off kind of like Jersey Shore Tool deal, which started off as a heel and then turned him into a face just from what he's done. So he's a guy that is great in the ring, interesting gimmick, but definitely should be respected by everybody just because of what he's done. So he's one of my favorites. I always watch his show. He's up to, like, I don't know, he's in the 50s with his episodes now. So he's really going. The match, to me, I would probably give it a C- just because there was so much going on.
Yeah.
If you limited it down to an 8-man tag, I think it would have been a lot better just from the workers that they have. You know, it could have been easily
Could have cut Otunga, McIntyre out, and you could have cut
Kali, obviously.
Kali, yeah, that was.
And you could have got rid of Truth if you wanted Santino, or, I mean, those ones.
Well, you could have got rid of Booker T.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
yeah.
He wrestled, but he didn't even do anything that the crowd was going to want him to do.
Yeah.
He didn't do any of his specials. He didn't do a spinneroonie.
And I guess with Booker T, he's one of those guys that shouldn't just be thrown into a multi-man match. He should be a guy.
Well, he's an announcer now. He should at least stay an announcer.
Well, if he's going to come out and wrestle, at least, he should have his own match because people are going to want to see him do his signature things. So he shouldn't be thrown into a multi. If he's going to come out, if you're going to pull him out from behind the desk to wrestle a match, it shouldn't be a multi-man match. It should be a match that's promoted and it's like, oh, I'm going to watch Booker T instead of just throwing him in with all these guys. So you could have lowered it to an 8-man tag. I think you would have had better action, been able to keep an eye on actually what's going on rather than. Because me, I saw the ending and it was like, okay, here comes the ending. You know, and that's what I was going to pay attention to. It was like, there's so much going on right now. It's really hard for me. Like, I can't really tell you too much about the match except the ending.
That's pretty much all I could tell you, too.
So I think it was too cluttered. I give it a C- just because it was so hard to be like.
So we both give it a C range.
Yeah.
So.
Moving on, which I think is the WWE Championship.
Yep, Jericho and CM Punk, which I thought was a great match.
Yep.
I give it an A- overall. And these two guys, here's two guys I actually know. Obviously, I know Jericho a lot. And I'm really glad that they did the right move by having him lose.
Yeah.
It's the rivalry is probably not over.
Yeah, it's not as of Raw. It's not even close to being over.
So, I think it's good that they'll probably have. It's a good way to get CM Punk over.
Yeah,
now, he's not like he's not over, but to launch him into
superstardom.
Yeah, because I mean that's what they need. They need some more superstars, and I mean we'll get into that.
Shortly.
Maybe another time or.
Or, yeah, time pending if we can.
Yeah, but yeah, overall, I thought the match was very good. Wasn't too much botched things that happened that match. Good technical match. Jericho had some, I thought Jericho performed very well. CM Punk performed very well. There's not much bad to say about this match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think we kind of alternate here. I think this, for me, would have been match of the night. So I would give it an A. These guys put on a great match. This is what I was expecting. I was expecting this to be the match of the night, and, I mean, they did not disappoint with Undertaker, Triple H being a close second. These two are just phenomenal. I'm looking forward to seeing this feud down the road, because adding stipulations, I think it's only going to get better. I wasn't really sure where they're going to go with it. I could see Punk winning made sense. I could have seen Jericho winning just to continue the feud, to be like, I got the belt now, and then obviously, like, down the road, Punk would get it back, because I don't think Jericho's staying that long. I've heard that he's supposed to be out by summer just because he's going on tour with his band. So I think to give Jericho that short little run and then maybe, like, have Punk finish him off so that he could leave for a while and then eventually come back, so that Punk would have that reign, and then maybe they can continue something down the road. But, I mean, there's still time for that. Extreme Rules, they could do something.
Mm-hmm.
So this match, to me, match of the night, did not disappoint. Two phenomenal athletes, and obviously we're going to be getting some more down the road as of Raw. This feud's not even close to being over, which is great, because both fabulous on the mic and even better in the ring. Like you said, I think this will be something that Punk will be one of those guys that you look back when you have your Rocks, Stone Colds, Brock Lesnar's. They can pinpoint from this era and be like, wrestling's not good right now. We need guys like CM Punk back. So I think Punk is on his way to being one of those superstars that we're going to remember 10 years from now. If we'll make it a date, me and you will come back here, do another podcast, be like, this is what WWE needs right now. So I think Punk is definitely on his way. They're building him fantastically, giving him Jericho right now. I think this is going to be one of the best feuds.
Well, let's hope they don't mess it up, too.
Yeah.
Which they're notorious of doing.
Yeah, so let's not speak too soon, but to me, this could be the top feud for 2012. So we can move on to...
The main event.
The main event.
Which is the whole reason that all these people came to my house for this.
For the once-in-a-lifetime match? That's what I think they were billing it as or something. John Cena versus The Rock. You want to start off?
Yeah, I'll start. Okay, I give it a B+.
B+?
And the only reason I give it a B+, normally I'd probably give it normally an A to A-, because it wasn't a bad match, but it did not live up to the year being hyped. Yeah.
Which, I mean, what can nowadays, really?
Yeah, I was happy to see The Rock again. I was happy to see him win. I just did not like the match itself. I mean, it wasn't as entertaining as I was hoping it'd be. But I think maybe I had too much high hopes going into it.
Yeah.
And I mean, as we did in the Top Wrestlers thing, I've mentioned several times how big of a Rock fan I am. And I don't hate John Cena. I'm not one of those people who hate him. One thing I hate about him is his image.
Yeah.
I know he's, good, clean, and...
Wholesome.
Wholesome and patriot and...
A heartthrob.
I don't understand how... I mean, if you think about it, they're face of this company, and what they're trying to get all these kids to... to dress as is a wigger.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at some of these fans, like these young kids in the stands, and they're wearing, jerseys that are way too big for them, and, wristbands all over, and their hats, bills not bent. And this is nothing, I'm not saying anything against this style, but, like, how are you going to have that look be the face of your company, and how you, like, say every kid should, look like this now?
Yeah,
because I mean, they all look like clowns. Yeah, I mean,
I think his image has kind of progressed as from that guy that's gonna rap and.
Well, yeah, I'm glad he doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, so now I think that's more his style nowadays. Depending on what you would call it or whatever, I think it's just how he dresses. I don't think he's promoting more of an image. I think, hustle, loyalty, respect, whatever you want to go with.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of, I prefer him in the camo shorts. I don't know why. I just think he looks better that way.
Oh, yeah. I hated when he wore those jeans.
Yeah. Which he keeps alternating now. Like, he just had camo or whatever, and now he's back to jeans for WrestleMania, which was weird. I noticed. I was like, oh, he's back to jeans already. But this match, for me, I would probably give a B. I think I wasn't expecting a fantastic match from either guy, because it's really hard. I never look back and say, well, Cena versus whatever put on the five-star match of the night, or Rock versus whoever put on a five-star match of the night. I mean, you'll get those cases sometimes, but it's not like I'm going to saying, oh, this is going to be a good match. To me, it was more hype than anything. Obviously, I don't think it lived up to a year of build-up. One of the things that I think also killed it was, if you look at Raw, the crowd was much more loud as opposed to WrestleMania, because WrestleMania, they had the stadium, which was an open area, so it was like that noise was just going out. So it kind of sounded like the crowd was more dead than they actually were, because from what I hear, they were really into it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I heard it wasn't as rock-slanted as they thought it was going to
be.
Yeah,
and I think when you look back at something like Rock Hogan, that crowd was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And this missed that element of a big feel match where the crowd's completely into it, and it's like, we're booing this guy and cheering this guy. Like I love when they go back with the punches where it's like, yeah, boo, yeah. And to me, it didn't have that feel. I'd give it a B, because obviously it was a good match to watch. It wasn't fantastic from a wrestling standpoint. I didn't expect it to be. It wasn't bad from a wrestling standpoint. It was right where I thought it would be. And then where I think it lacked was that crowd interaction, where I figured everyone would be going nuts. And they probably were, but I couldn't hear it from my TV because of the open stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I think that played in a larger factor than wrestling-wise, so I would probably give this one a solid B.
Well, I mean, I liked the finish of it. I thought it was cool how The Rock just shot up when he was mimicking his move.
Yeah.
And then just rock bottom out of nowhere. And it wasn't a bad rock bottom. Like, I thought it was good. A couple things that I didn't like about the match that didn't live up was when John Cena was doing the people's elbow impression.
Yeah.
Like a weird, like, something came over him is what it looked like. I don't know if you noticed it, but like it looked like he got like really like legitimately mad about something, or he got really disgusted about something.
Yeah.
And he like it didn't look like he was even trying to sell it anymore. It was like he didn't care. And I know it was at the time he was mocking The Rock's move, but there was something that like I noticed like when he was doing it that like he lost interest in whatever was about to happen. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the referee told him something in his ear.
It's a rumor. Don't know if it's true, so I'm not going to say, this is what happened. Rumor is that they went into that match with the understanding Cena was winning. Vince changed it during the match, told the ref, which alerted both guys, that Rock was going over instead of Cena. That's what I hear. I have no idea if it's true.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
Because it almost looked like the referee said something to Cena, and he was doing that people's elbow thing, and he showed no interest.
Yeah.
He showed, like, it looked like he got legitimately mad and didn't care anymore about that match, and then they ended it like that as soon as that happened.
Which you could see, I think. They both were kind of just going improv. It seemed like they were improvising just because of the way it was going. You can see the mess up a little bit with the rock bottom when Cena went into it. It was like kind of both guys were kind of like, okay, we're trying to get through this right now. So, I mean, it could be a very big possibility that the ending was changed just because of the way both guys had to think on the spot and be like, okay, this is what we're doing now. And then obviously you'll get.
Well, you got to wonder if maybe Cena was going to win with the people's elbow.
Yeah.
And then they switch it to, okay, you're going to get rock bottom when you go to the rope.
I have to watch it again. I DVR'd it. I haven't seen it. Theory is that Cena hit the FU, and it looks like the ref hits three, and they kind of cut away, and everyone was kind of confused at what happened. So, and then they were alerted, just like really right before that Rock was going over. So I think if that happened and it went down like that, obviously both guys were kind of confused as to what exactly is going on here, because we just did the finish. Now that's not the finish, so now we're just going to have to – you're spitballing it at WrestleMania 28 as the main event with a year of build-up. So, I mean, it's kind of like
– No, I know. It kind of looked like that's what happened. And at the end, Cena just sitting down, on his ass, on the ramp, just staring with referees all around him.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we didn't get the handshake, or you know how usually it goes when two big guys, like Rock, Hogan, you know, you got the handshake and everything. This one was kind of just like, okay, I'll beat him. He rolls out with no real big interaction at the end. It was kind of just like,
yeah, like I didn't understand, like, and Cena, like, he wasn't in pain. He was just sitting there, wasn't, like, upset, just sitting there.
Yeah.
No emotion. Like, I couldn't understand what was going on.
Which we're doing this Wednesday, so maybe in the next week we'll actually hear an official report as to what happened, which we can always mention on our future podcasts.
Overall, I mean, it was, the whole event overall, I give it a B plus, A minus.
For me, I think event overall I would give it a B minus. I think it was above expectations, but I don't think it was expectations as regarding other WrestleManias. I don't think it was up there as a top tier WrestleMania.
I haven't seen all of them though to compare, but I mean, compared to last year, it beat the crap out of last year. So
I mean, we've had a dry spell of good WrestleManias in quite some time. So I mean, if you say, hey, from last year's WrestleMania, you know, this is in the A range. But I think as opposed to other, comparing it to other WrestleManias, we'll give it a B minus. So it was strong WrestleMania. I'll buy the DVD when it comes out, as long as I'm still not DVRing it and watching it. I don't know. Depending on what the extras look like, I don't know. But it is something that I'm not disappointed in the purchase. Like last year, I was like, why did I pay money for that?
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Undertaker and Triple H. So this one, yeah, B minus. I was satisfied with it. I don't think I'm as happy with it as I could have been, just because, you know, obviously my expectations are probably high. But yeah, B minus for me.
I do want to mention real quickly, we're obviously not going to get into the Knockabout Talk about Raw, but maybe what we can do is we can start off with it on our Sunday show.
Let's do it.
We'll start off with it, and then, you know, it has nothing to do with our top 10 of the 90s, but whatever.
We'll go with it. It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
We can do what the hell we want. Okay. I do want to mention that I thought John Cena was more impressive in that match than The Rock. Looked like John Cena really wanted it more until the ending.
Yeah.
But I also want to note that about this Hunkopotamus thing. What the hell was that? I was legitimately angry while watching that. Because I had no idea. There was no explanation to it. It literally probably is the reason I didn't give it an A-.
It is unbelievable that you put segments like this on
and
a WrestleMania.
Right before the main event. I was so angry.
No sense. I mean... I watch wrestling all the time, and it's like, what are you doing here? Because his whole thing is, somebody better call my mom, and that's his theme music. So I was like, yeah, what? So you have these women come out dressed as old ladies, and they dance?
That thing was getting booed so hard.
It was the dumbest thing, and I can't believe anyone greenlighted that to go on to WrestleMania.
It just seems like they just need some time to fill.
Yeah. I'd
rather see Cena and Rock fight longer than just...
Yeah. Or maybe we could not have an 18-second...
Yeah.
World Heavyweight Championship match, but, you know, it was ridiculous that they put that on. I like you said, I would rather see every match could have had a little bit, one or two more minutes, instead of doing this Funkosaurus.
Yes.
We're going to dance for, how long was that segment? Because I walked away from it. I was like, once that lady came out dressed as an old lady and they started dancing.
It was long. Like, it was legitimate, like 5 minutes at least.
Yeah, so.
And to have it right before... like a concert.
Yeah.
Like, it was so stupid. Like, how are you going to have two segments like that? Like, people are going to lose interest before the main event.
It was unbelievable. And, I mean, you could say 5 minutes, not a huge deal, but when you're talking about wrestling, in like 30 seconds is a huge deal in a wrestling match.
Yeah, but 5 minutes for that pointless, stupid, annoying segment, and then you have a performance by Machine Gun Kelly, which lasted probably 3 minutes.
I forgot all about those until...
And then you have the Flo Rida one, which he performed two songs. That was probably about, like, 6 minutes. So, total, that's what? There's about...
11?
Yeah, 11 pointless, grueling minutes. That they're lucky that this was a pay-per-view. Because this was, like, a normal thing, that would have been changed and that main event no one would have saw it.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to Wiggle performances and stuff like that. I think it kind of goes into, you can use celebrities, but you got to use them in moderation, you know? So you can't go back-to-back with a pointless segment and then have the performances by the celebrities. I think it was just kind of killing everything, that all the momentum they had built up, and it's like, now I got to sit through this, and I got to sit through that, to finally get Rock to Cena. So I don't know. Definitely not the highest point of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So, man, I don't. That was one. WrestleMania had good stuff, and it also had some bad stuff. So it's hard for me to say, you know, give it that in the A range right now. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with what I got. So B minus.
All right.
Well,
I was glad. Glad we got to get this in.
Yes, this is always fun. So stay tuned, I guess, for our top 10 tag teams of 95 to 2005, which we will also continue a little tidbit, probably 10 to 15 minutes, about our direction of where WWE is going right now and Raw fallout and everything. So, yes, so that should be up soon. This will be up. Well, if you're listening to it, it's already up. So, yes, this is a top 10 podcast. I'm Luke Jeanette. Oh, 10 count podcast. I already messed it up. I messed up our own podcast. What's wrong with me?
It's okay.
This is a 10 count podcast. I'm Luke Janesco.
And I'm Tony Romano.
And we'll see you whenever we get the next episode out. So,
yep.
Bye.
Later.